the show.
Hey guys, I'm Julian McCullough, comedian and big old just fuzzball. I'm a big fuzzball.
Fuzzball. And I'm Meg Malloy, and this is The Soft Spot, where we live in the moment.
In the past.
Each week we bring on a hilarious guest to discuss the song, movie, place, smell, etc. that they use to escape reality and bring them back to a happier time.
Today, we're going to have an interview with Brooks Whelan.
Brooks Whelan.
Very funny man. Adventurist. Outdoorsman.
Outdoorsman.
A lot of flannel in that wardrobe. And he camps for real.
He does camp for real.
His Instagram is like, it looks like.
We touch on some camping stuff.
We do.
The interview. Yeah.
So he said that he wanted to talk about super dramatic
emo music.
Emo music is his soft spot, which I was like, oh boy. Okay.
So if you were a teenager in the early 2000s, you're going to love this.
This is for you, yeah. When he said that was his topic, I was like, well, what? You know, I didn't really think of, because
you were a little panicked because it's a little out of your wheelhouse.
A little bit, because I wasn't into the I wasn't like an emo. So I never got into that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, my emo is 80s ballads, as we know.
We got that.
Yeah,
memo.
We totally got that part. And then the other day we went to where were we going?
We were driving to San Diego.
No, Hermosa Beach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can go first.
I was going to say we were driving to San Diego.
This was a couple of weeks ago.
And we were talking about Brooks's interview.
Mm-hmm.
And we passed through San Dimas.
Which, by the way, when you see the sign for San Dimas, you have to say it like Bill and Ted. Isn't it Bill and Ted?
Well,
they went to San Dimas High School.
The first thing that I thought of was the Atari song. And so I had to put it on, and I wasn't sure I remembered every word, but surprise.
What Atari song?
I do. San Dimas High School Football Rules.
Wait, isn't that a Bill and Ted reference?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Yes.
All right. I think normal people think of Bill and Ted, and you think of the Atari song.
I know. Ugh. I'm the worst.
So then you were like, do you remember the Ataris? And I was like, no. I mean,
I put it on, and I was like, rip back this sunroof, put the windows down. I got to scream these lyrics out loud and proud.
Let's play it right now, the intro, so everybody knows what we're talking about.
So everybody can decide if they're going to keep listening to this podcast or not.
Don't worry, we're only going to play this song for 10 seconds. Go ahead. Last night, I had a dream that we went to Disneyland. Went on all the rides, didn't have to wait in line. Yeah, that is not my type of music.
I love it still.
You knew all the words.
I did know all the words.
What is that song? What's the song about? Is it about the football team?
It's hard to say what it's about without the lyrics starting to play through my mind. It's so dorky. It's about being into a girl.
Mm-hmm.
At one point,
let me guess,
he says,
she's
I just want you to know I have a major crush on you. So.
Oh, I remember that one.
It's just your typical love letter to a girl.
I just want you to know
I've got a major crush on you. Yeah.
Oh, God, it gives me the creepy. That vocal style, like, I'm not better than anybody, okay? Because my taste in music is questionable.
It is.
But that vocal style of like, I can't find my skateboard and I'm so sorry you don't love me or whatever. It's just like, what is that?
I don't know. But it had me hypnotized from about 2000 to probably 2005.
Do you remember when you first got into that music, if like you had to get over that vocal style or you liked it right away?
No, I'm pretty sure that's what pulled me right in. my first band that I really got into was MXPX, and that's definitely the lyrical stylings.
Oh, I've got a crush on you.
No, not.
Oh, that's more.
That's
that was
like
Cockney.
Some weird Buzzcocks thing that you tried to throw in there.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, there's like the like this isn't real punk rock music.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little safer, but yeah. I'm still covered in tattoos.
The male singers always sound like they just feel so much.
They do.
You know?
And their pants are so tight.
Yeah.
So. And it's just a lot.
So do you think the pants have something to do with why they sound like that?
I don't know. It's possible. Because that is one of the things they all have in common.
Yeah. All right. Did you ever date a boy like that?
For sure, man.
Yeah?
For sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like asymmetrical haircut, tight jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot Topic.
Not Hot Topic. Not
Spencer Gifts.
No, not even Spencer Gifts. More like low-key purchases from the skate shop. Not not like loud enough to be like, I skateboard, but
right.
also not shying away from maybe being skateboard adjacent. I don't know.
Oh, like that store the, skateboard
the
adjacent?
The posers, you yeah. know? The posers. I dated a poser or two.
That'd
in
be
my
so
day.
Funny if you opened a store called Posers right next to a skate shop. Man, do I love my own jokes.
He does.
Okay. Something that happened to me, and by the way, just to close this out, as the guy driving that car, we hit traffic real hard on the way down to San Diego.
And then I went into a pop punk frenzy.
So I got an extra, I don't know, hour and a half of pop punk, power pop punk,
post-punk. Stop calling it power pop.
Post-punk.
It's not post-punk.
No, post-pop. It's post-pop. Popcorn.
It's just
Yon Pops. That's my grandparents.
Stop it.
Okay. So thank you for that. And I got a crash course. And I'm not
ashamed of who I once was.
Seeing the joy on your face while you were singing every word to these songs was fun. As someone who loves you, it was fun to watch that. As someone who hates that music, it was difficult for me.
I'm sorry, but I'm also not sorry. I'm not.
I'm because, sorry, not sorry.
Exactly. That'll be the name of my emo band. Sorry, not sorry.
I guarantee you it's taken.
I was also, I just got to let the people know, I was mm-hmm. also listening to cool shit like Joy Division and The Cure.
Right.
I just happened to also love really shitty pop punk, and I still do.
Hey,
so
you know, people are complicated. You got a lot of layers.
Yep.
You're like an onion, and some of those layers like terrible music, and that's fine. And again, I love some terrible music, so
yeah,
that's
do.
Just your style. I have mine. I never get tired of Peebo Bryson, for example. We were driving more recently to Hermosa Beach.
Yes.
I was performing at Comedy and Magic Club, which is a very interesting place to go, but I love it. And we, while we were in the car, Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears came on. And it was a perfect day to drive down to the beach. I mean, it was like there wasn't a cloud in the sky and we had the sunroof open and all that.
Mostly the traffic was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it was pretty dead. So that was cool. And it reminded me of the story I heard about Everybody Wants to Rule the World, which is a big soft spot for me. And it's weird because, you know, I mean, that song's everywhere all the time. So
yeah.
It's hard to keep that one special. But it still gets me sometimes in certain situations. It still reminds me of this one moment that I'm going to get to. But the background of it is that Tears for Fears didn't even put that song on the original album that it appeared on. And the producer was like, hey, if you want this album to sell in America, people like to drive around with their top down with the convertible. You know how we all have friends with convertibles?
Totally.
And can you write a song that would be like sunset convertible driving song? And Tears for Fears said, okay. And 2 days later, they did Everybody Wants to Rule the World and put
Which
it on the album.
Which is crazy because it's an amazing song and it's so, there are so many different sounds in that song.
I know. They were hopping and popping on the whole album. So
yeah, it's really, as far as like pop music goes, it's really like elevated.
Yeah. It's a sophisticated song.
It is.
I would call it sophistopop. I think it's part of the sophistopop genre. And, you know, like the Simply Reds. And
yeah, exactly.
Like it's sophisticated pop. But they, anyway, so that's what we were doing. We only have a tiny little sunroof because we have a Honda CRV. We don't have a convertible.
We're just reasonable family people.
A little scurvy. And it reminded me. Oh, so then I was like, oh, that's fine. I remember what this song reminds me of. Then we got pulled into an antiques place.
Stars Antiques.
Stars Antiques. It's a big old barn in Hermosa Beach.
And it's so rad.
It has a lot
of
great stuff.
You should check it out.
Stars Antiques. But the song came on in the antique store.
It did.
So that's when I knew I had to talk about it. And just real quick, I remember, so I grew up in San Francisco, and there's this one hill on Van Ness where you're, when you clear the hill, you can see everything. You can see the water and all of that from the car. And I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and we were driving down to Pier 34. Yeah. That's like the, it's like the Times Square on the water, basically. But I used to love it. They had the NFL shop and everything. Anyway, it was really exciting to go to this place that had like, it has like little rides and, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really great mood riding with my family to go down there and have a good time that day. And I remember Everybody Wants to Rule the World was playing when we were coming over the hill, and I got to see the, like, I saw Alcatraz and the whole thing. It's gorgeous.
Wow, your soft spot's so much more poetic than mine.
Well, I remember thinking, it's so funny how you remember lyrics hitting you when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand half of what they're talking about.
You don't.
And I remember thinking that song made me feel a relief. Uh-huh. Because even at 8, I already knew I wasn't, like, that ambitious. Like, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I knew about Wall Street and stuff.
I got low standards.
Yeah,
that's good. I'm ready for life.
I already knew I didn't want to be in control. Like, I didn't want to be the CEO. I didn't want to be my grandfather who owns his own ad agency. I wanted to be, like, more like my dad. It's like, I'm not even participating, you know? Mm-hmm. So when he said everybody wants to rule the world, I was like, you know what? Maybe they do.
This guy doesn't.
But this guy doesn't. I'm going to hang out with my family today. And then I grew up, and it turns out I'm pretty ambitious. So that's our soft spots. Let's get into our interview. I think we enjoyed Brooks quite a bit.
We did.
He's a great guy.
Also, check out the episode of his show that we are both on.
Entry level.
It's so fun.
We talk about our first jobs and all that. So without further ado, here's our interview with Brooks Whelan. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome.
We have an amazing guest today. Brooks Whelan is here.
Yay.
Everybody.
Hey, how's it going? Speaking of soft spots, saw Mr. Rogers' documentary last night.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, is this Fred Rogers? Frederick Rogers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Fred Rogers. Uh-huh. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And it is the nicest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It's like watching puppies play for like an hour and a half.
Everybody in America should have to watch this.
At the end, the puppies get like great homes.
Oh.
Yeah. It's everything about it is good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No pressure, but John Mulaney came on and talked about Mr. Rogers, but tell us how you feel about it.
I mean, I feel like I'm more of an expert.
He didn't see the movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He didn't just get a 90-minute crash course.
Did you cry?
Yes, I did.
One time or more than one time?
It's a couple close, and then one time pretty heavy. At the same time, this Mr. Rogers scene, this movie, was the same night I found out about the movie pour at the ArcLight, which is a new pour that they do of wine, which is just full cup of wine.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Yeah, it used to just be 6 ounces, and then now they have a thing called a movie pour, just a full cup.
Wow.
That's nice.
So that also might have added to the emotions.
Can you bring your own cup?
It's a big cup.
Sir, that's a bucket.
It's a big cup of wine.
Nice.
Yeah, so that adds up. That helps with the tears.
When you're in your feels and you have like a big cup of wine, I would cry.
Big cup of wine, yeah. Go to the ArcLight. It's called the movie pour.
Yeah.
AKA just the like, come on, you don't need this.
The big gulp.
Movies are long.
Yeah, exactly.
So at what scene did you cry?
At the end, he's just talking.
Show him die.
Yeah. Well, they show he was killed by a kid.
Actually,
he was trying to get some mean kids over to the nice side. The mean kids killed him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They stabbed him a bunch.
Spoiler.
Crazy. Yeah.
People forget that's how he died.
Yeah, people forget that children killed Mr. Rogers.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. I didn't know. And
that
then I was like,
so sad.
Yeah, exactly. It's heartwarming. At the end, the kids, you know, they're like, okay, you learned a lesson.
What's a scene that you remember? What scene did you almost cry at? But then you were able to.
I don't
want to
ruin it for anybody. I mean, he's just so he just doesn't treat kids any different than adults, and he's talking to a child who's you know has really bad disabilities, and he just treats him so fucking normal.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's pretty crazy that he was like able to so clearly communicate with little kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he never talked down to them.
No, he was just. Yeah.
He's just like kind.
Didn't sugarcoat anything. He's like, he's like, yeah, you have a wheelchair, you know, like just real, lots of eye contact. And it's nice to meet you. And it was great. And you're like, oh, fuck. Like, it made me want to like call my nephews and be like, how are you guys today? And they'd be like, this isn't how we communicate. First of all, we don't communicate. And second of all, what's this all about?
Yeah.
Kids were different back then, though. They were all, I don't know if you guys know this, but in the 80s, kids were all 35 years old.
Yeah.
So you could talk to them like
that. Yeah, that's true. I forgot.
You know?
I forgot being a kid in the 80s. And how I'm younger
now. You're
kind
of left to your own devices.
Yeah, I've gotten younger. Weird.
I had this feeling yesterday. We were just in the living room. I don't remember what I was doing, but I just was like, I can't believe I'm almost 40 years old. I feel younger than I did 5 years ago, like mentally.
Yeah, no,
it's so
I feel
bizarre.
Well, I feel very old.
It's probably because you're with a younger lady.
Maybe that's what it is. Meg is 19.
I am.
Yeah, you could tell your parents about your relationship a year and a half ago. I had to keep that
we
on
kept
the
things
down
under low. Wraps until my birthday.
Yeah. We just met now.
Yeah, I bet that was a situation in your life at some point, though.
Meg.
Oh,
you were hanging out with not high schoolers in high school.
I know.
I was definitely hanging out with not high schoolers.
We were just talking about that yesterday. About just like. It's when you were in high school and like somebody had a condo, like who had graduated 2 years ago.
Yeah, some loser who was like bagging groceries and had zero aspirations beyond
but
like
had a place.
Selling
weed. But you're like, Tom is awesome.
Yeah.
He's got cable. And you can just drink over there after school.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we had a friend in high school who was the only kid for some reason got a pass in the whole school to be able to hang out with a grade younger than him. If anyone else did that, it would have been weird or like, but he had a car and everybody thought he was the coolest dude in the world. And then he started touring with Phish and did too much acid.
Bummer.
But big bummer. Yeah.
That's a bummer. I just had Chris Garcia on my podcast, and he talked about how the first time he did acid, it was in an eyedropper. So he he didn't know.
God.
He put it in his eyes.
I was going to say, as a joke, I was going to say, what, did he put it in his eyes?
Yeah, he did.
Is that why he's like that now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Holy shit.
He was supposed to go to work like 2 days later, the first day of work, and he said he like walked up to it and was still tripping, and he just walked past it. He's like, nah, I can't do it.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So he never went to sleep for 2 days?
Yeah, he was just like tripping because he put a bunch in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
who
like my
supervised
worst
nightmare.
This? No, his friend looked over and was like, ah! Like he wasn't. Nobody said do that. They were like, "Oh shit!
Oh my god! Who would do that?"
Yeah, exactly.
But he knew it was acid. I hope he wasn't like,
was
"I need Visine."
Like, no, he knew it was acid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess it was his first time, and he's like, "This is how you do this."
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's bananas.
Yesterday, I was doing this shoot that they killed for Fox Sports, and
already
it's fine.
Yesterday you were doing something.
It was
going to
be like a 1 minute interstitial thing, and then they were like, "We don't have time in the programming or whatever." So whatever, I still get paid. But the I know. Look, it's disappointing.
It's a quick turnaround, this biz.
I know it is. It's canceled already.
Yeah,
but the point is that one of the jokes that I was supposed to do was they put an air horn on the coffee table, and I was gonna because you shoot an air horn when there's a soccer goal, right? Mm-hmm. And so they go, let's run through it real quick. And it's in somebody's house that they like rented, right? So they go, let's run through it. So I'm doing the prompter and I get to the air horn joke and I pick up the air horn and I blast it and they all lose their shit. They like freak out and they look really scared. They're like, yeah! like when Chris Garcia put acid in his eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It says in the prompter, blow air horn. And they go, there's a baby sleeping in the back. I'm like, no one thought that I was going to really blow this air horn. Of course I'm going to blow this air horn.
Also, Fox Sports, get it together.
I know.
That's like when you're doing drugs at your friend's house and he's like, keep it down, my 8-year-old sleeping. Like, What? We've been here for 3 hours. It's Fox Sports.
Oh, man.
I know.
Why is there a baby over there? Why?
That was one of the dark... I can't tell that story.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after.
The thing I'm saddest about is that your robe won't be seen.
I know.
By
she got me this awesome 80s Christian Dior bathrobe.
Okay.
And I wore it to the shoot. And they were like, it's perfect.
Bright.
And then now it's never going to see.
What did Land call it? The robe of a thousand colors.
The Technicolor dream coat?
The Technicolor dream robe.
Yeah. I got to see it.
Do you have any robes? Are you a robe? You don't seem like a robe guy.
I used to wear one when I was like in high school. I had like
Didn't you grow up in like Montana or someplace?
In the woods in Iowa.
Iowa.
Yeah. And I had like a flannel robe that I would just wear all the time.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
All the time.
I'm into that. That's a bold.
I don't know why I don't do it anymore. I don't know why not.
We were just in San Diego this past weekend, and one day we were walking around, and Julian had on a Spuds McKenzie shirt, teal swim trunks, and this robe. And every bro that passed was like, man.
They're like, that's the best.
That's the best
look.
Two
guys said, that's the best look all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, we got to go home and change.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're the prince of San Diego.
I know.
Oh, man, you were born out of sandals.
I mean,
you're what happens when two flip-flops click their heels.
They should. It's amazing there's a Chad in Africa. There should be a. They should just call San Diego Chad.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's the real Chad.
Speaking of robes and San Diego, so I take you guys. I don't know if you know Meg, but Carl Hess and I go on the road together sometimes. Carl Hess is in, we'll share the hotel room. He's the guy who will immediately put the robe on and get under the covers.
What?
He's like, oh, yeah, we got a nice hotel room. Oh. And then I'm like, Carl, it's my room. You're staying in it. You're, first of all...
He's like home aloning it.
Yeah, he home alones it every... Oh, yeah, I got... Oh, but this robe is not...
You're like, that's my robe.
Yeah, I was like, first of all, like, just like ask. And then also now I guess I'm sleeping on the floor. Like, yeah but that never happens. We share the bed.
You share a bed with Carl Hess.
We are very comfortable with you. We're a couple of best buds.
I love a couple of dudes that don't mind being snuggle buddies.
Yeah. Sometimes if the club's super cool and I get to and bring like, host, feature and like bring three people, we'll triple bed it. Like me, Wit, and Carl have done it. Me, Cornell, and Carl have done it. It's really fun.
Wow. If you saw these guys, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
These are all hot guys we're talking about.
They're all, it's a bunch of fun. We go camping a lot, so you three people share a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for warmth.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for bears.
And cuddle
buddies.
In case
there's bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
So, speaking of warm flannel robes, I asked you what your soft spot was, mm-hmm. and you said...
Melodramatic music.
But which is broad.
Broad. But like I guess the best way I could put it...
I don't want to say emo for you, but it feels like you're headed in that direction.
It's not emo. It's basically the soundtrack to Garden State.
Like the Shins.
Yeah, like that
like,
stuff I'm like, that is what I'm like, I'll listen to it
early
alone.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, early 2000s.
Tick off some like bands that we're talking
about.
I mean,
Death Cab for Cutie, Shins, and I really don't know. Like
Shins.
Yeah, really, Shins.
Like Father John Misty feels like it, like his first album was hip, and now I have to like kind of... It feels like maybe...
He's really leaning into being Father John Misty.
Sure, yes. So now, but I still, like, I'll listen to it, but, like, not around people.
Same.
I want to say something about the Garden State situation, because I just happened to see it on TV, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago in a hotel room or
something
like that.
Could you make it through the whole movie?
Well, no, but...
No, I can't make it. I watched it for the first time recently, because my girlfriend's from New Jersey and, like, liked it, because she's 32, and when that movie came out, she would have been, like,
18. Or
yeah, so it's perfect New Jersey,
I, too, am 32. I remember exactly when that came out, and I was like, this movie's so great. And I tried to rewatch it recently, and I was like, this movie is so...
That's like Forrest Gump. It's like, it fooled a whole country.
No, I still like Forrest Gump. If it's on,
ooh,
I'll watch
and that's
it.
Our episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
What's wrong with Forrest Gump? I mean,
Forrest Gump is...
There's a lot of things had to happen for that movie to work. I'm saying, like, it's a lot of, like, you got lucky here, you got lucky here, but I enjoy it. It's a nice romp.
Okay, that's fine.
I was drunk in a Bubba Gump shrimp.
Donald Trump is evil Forrest Gump, by the way.
Oh, he is. Well, he's, yeah.
Because he just fails and stumbles forward until, although Forrest Gump was successful and everything,
and
so never mind.
He doesn't know it, but he's like ableist and misogynist and racist, but he's not.
Right.
But he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, Forrest Gump is misogynist?
No.
I was like, when? He was just so kind all the time.
He was kind, but he didn't realize that these, I don't think he realized the values that were being pushed on him until he was in, like, real-world situations.
Sure.
What were you going to say about...
I was drunk in a Bubba Gump shrimp at the Mall of America, and...
I've been there. They have the bench outside with Tom Hanks' shoes.
They do. Yeah. Yes, it's great. I was doing Acme, which is, like, the best... Have you ever done Acme?
I've done spots there. I've never done
a weekend. It's the greatest club in America.
Yeah,
that and Comedy on State, which you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Grace and I, my girlfriend, we bar hopped the Mall of America. It was so fun. There's like a really great little area that's like Margaritaville, Bubba Gum Shrimp, Rainforest Cafe, Buffalo Wild Wings.
We definitely love a good Margaritaville date.
It's so fun. But then at the Bubba Gum Shrimp, they had a map, which I already like maps, of the...
I already like maps.
Yeah, I'm already into maps.
You're already into Forrest Gump. Then they have a map inside.
Then they have a map that shows his actual trail that he ran, like, across the states. I looked at it for, like, an hour.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay.
You know, what's funny is it reminds me of the Rocky statue because it's also based on something that never happened.
Sure. Yeah.
it's a real map.
Yeah. The Rocky statue is funny to me because Philadelphia is like the birthplace of America and it's so much history, but we're like, that's where Sylvester Stallone ran.
I know.
Yeah, my girlfriend's family's from Philly, and her stepdad's favorite thing to do when you visit is for him to debunk Rocky's run. He's like, here's where it started. You can't run over here that fast.
You can't go from there over here.
You can't be at the docks, and the next thing you know, you're at the museum.
Well, they
I guess he's an old New Yorker.
They cut the kayaks. Well, no one can do a Philly accent. It's very difficult to do a Philly accent.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But yeah, they cut the kayak scene in Rocky where he actually kayaks across the Delaware.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which I agreed with. It's like a solid cut.
It took too long.
Yeah.
It was 5 minutes, one shot.
yeah, exactly.
All right.
By the way, you do an excellent Philly accent, but it takes just the right amount of alcohol to bring it out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like two beers to where you're still pretty...
Lan, can I get two beers?
Yeah. He's on top.
Two. I need two.
He's absolutely joking.
We're all having fun.
Okay. No, he's not.
Well, I found out on the way here that I had a meeting, a pitch. We were going to pitch at 5 today. And then I literally found out on the way here that it got moved. And like I like watching the World Cup right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, shit. I had a responsibility that I don't have anymore.
That's when drinking happens.
I could go to Public House and watch the World Cup because it's so fun.
I know.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Well, you would have seen my interstitial. But now there's no reason to go.
All right.
You mentioned, the shins. So we're watching that. I'm watching Garden State. Mm-hmm. And there's that scene that is like the cringiest scene where they're in the waiting room. And she's like, you got to hear these guys. This music's going to change your life.
And then
it's the shins. And here's the weird thing. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is because I was pretty young, I guess, or whatever. And I was like, it was a great scene. And I was like, I love the shins.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, 7 or 8 years later, you watch it again, and you can barely watch it without throwing up. It's so corny.
Think of how Natalie Portman must feel.
I know.
I mean, and she's doing all right.
She's doing all right, but that's like a...
The worst part is Zach Braff still jerks off to that scene.
Oh, definitely. So then I just saw it 2 weeks ago, and it didn't bother me that bad. It's not as cringy as I thought it was.
You're growing up. You're, like, less
worried. You're not as worried about being cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It's good.
I guess.
It's a freeing thing.
Yeah, which is, like, what we're talking... Which is why you're just like... What's your soft spot? I'm not embarrassed to say I like Death Cab for Cutie. I used to in college have to hide my CD porn.
yeah.
Wait. So which one is Death Cab?
It's like Ben Gibbard's main band.
Okay.
And the Postal Service is his side project, which is much more tolerable.
Okay.
A lot of people are like, I never listened to Postal Service, but they're lying. Everybody, when that album came out, everybody was like, this is brilliant.
I run to that album. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it's hype. It's like...
I thought you meant like you run to it when you're sad. you run to the CD and put it in your CD player.
Oh, no. Like, I jog to Such Great Heights. It's like a fast pace. It's good. Yeah.
The first time I ever heard that was in a listening station at the Tower Records on Broadway in New York City.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was like, I discovered this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's why my like friends can be like, send me music, and I'm like, ignore it. And then if I find it, I'm like, this is amazing. They're like, dude, I fucking sent you that 3 years ago. Like, that just happened with this car seat headrest or something.
I don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, there's this
weird... I think you're thinking of Chairlift.
No, yeah, I'm not. But I do mind. I don't mind. I think Bruises is that Chairlift song. I don't mind, which is a soft spot.
Death Cab for Cutie is currently on tour.
Oh, they're on tour?
With one of my early 2000s bands, Pedro the Lion.
Oh.
Did you ever get into them?
I think I've heard of them, but I could not name a song by them.
He was like Christian, and then
it sounds Christian.
Wasn't.
It sounds very Christian.
He wasn't. And then he wasn't real hard.
But he doesn't sound at all like Ben Gibbard.
No.
No.
No, but they both were like at their peak around the same time.
Right.
In terms of like popularity.
Sure.
Brooks, can you do your best impression of Ben Gibbard singing?
I mean, I'm really, really bad at singing. But
so is Ben Gibbard.
I feel like we need to give the people a little taste of what we're...
Because he's like whiny, right?
What's
a Death Cab
song?
I'm
trying to think Bixby... As I winded down the Bixby Canyon brick. I do, I guess, Neil Young. Anybody can do Neil Young.
Yeah, that's pretty good Neil Young.
That was a really good Neil Young.
Your Ben Gibbard is a perfect Neil Young.
Did you? Bixby Canyon.
I live
on a farm.
I loved Transatlanticism. Was that the album you're hiding from your friends?
I just know it. I just know the covers of it because they never had...
The one with the bird.
Oh, yeah, that one has...
That's the one I recognize.
This one's a banger through and through. Every song is a good song.
There's one, I Will Possess Your Heart. Well, I will just cry
Jesus
to
Jesus Christ,
it.
I Will Possess Your Heart?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Came out in college, yeah, and I was like, it's got like a 5-minute buildup to where they before they even start singing.
Oh, my God, I would cry.
I know. Narrow Stairs, right?
Yeah, it's Narrow Stairs. What I've never listened to them much.
Should we play a little bit of this?
We should, but I have a question first.
Okay.
I've always thought it was one of the worst names in music is Death Cab for Cutie. I've always hated that name for a band, and I don't even hate their sound.
It's not a good band
name. Does anyone know what it means?
No, I've never dove deep into them. It's just been like a thing that
when
they're on.
Do you know what Death Cab for Cutie means?
I don't know. I think it probably felt like cute and edgy.
It's got to be some literary reference.
Yeah, it's probably some poem or something.
Yeah,
it's probably Rumi.
Yeah, they're open up.
What? Oh, okay. So we have our producer has hooked up Google. What is that? Google.com?
Gibbard took the band name from the song "Death Cab for Cutie," written by Neil Innes
and Vivian Stanshall.
And performed by their group, the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. The song was performed by the Bonzos in the Beatles film Magical Mystery Tour.
So, I mean, we weren't too far off.
Not too far off,
and
no.
It's not satisfying.
Some
not,
obscure, you, dumb though. Reference.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's better that, honestly, I'm more satisfied with that answer than they thought it was like a cute, edgy, thing.
The most frustrating thing I heard recently is across from Public House in Los Feliz, where I live, is there's a Bukowski mural.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to open a bar there and call it Barkowski. And I'm like, you fucks. What the fuck? Like, that's a bar. Like, if you want it to be a Bukowski-themed bar, give that a little part of something he wrote, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
A famous statement he said. That's so much better than Barkowski. Also, that's where he would come to kill himself.
Also, I'm about to open a restaurant called Buchowski, which is a restaurant based on Bukowski.
Buchowski.
Well, it's a race. It's a race.
It is a race. I just got to raise some money, and I am in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what is this song you're going to play?
I like restaurants that open in abandoned Taco Bells and they don't change the outside. And
that's fun. There's an abandoned Johnny Rockets on Melrose. Ooh. And I would love
every
to
every time
open
we
something.
Pass by, he's like, isn't that great? Isn't that like a great piece of property? I'm like, it's an abandoned Johnny Rockets.
That's a great piece of... You are almost 40. And then you talk...
It was the first
that
Johnny
was the first
Rockets.
One? Let's all buy it and move in.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's an idea that like sounds exciting, like getting locked in the mall for the night.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, and then you'd be like, I'm really scared.
A haunted deep fryer.
I got stuck in JCPenney.
There's ghosts of dead waiters singing The Temptations in the middle of the night.
No, this food isn't even that good. It's American food for American people. I don't get it.
Okay, what is this song you want to play?
Yeah, sorry.
I have Death Cab, Transatlanticism.
Queued up.
I have it queued up.
Now keep it... No, I've never listened to Death Cab.
I also just pulled up the Garden State soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, that's just filled.
Well, I know that. I want to hear something. I want to hear Death Cab because I've never heard Death Cab. So play me your favorite Death Cab song.
Okay.
And not this 5-minute
Yeah,
build
no,
up.
We don't have
that
time for that.
That song is so... It does... You have to listen to the whole thing, I think.
Yeah. No, you do.
And there's a lot of build up.
And I like
gotta,
it. It's like... I'm like... old enough now to where I can, like, and I'm comfortable enough that I'm like, I like Death Cab for Cutie. My name is Brooks W. Yeah. And I can admit, I like Death Cab for Cutie.
Can you hear it?
Okay.
Oh, man, now I'm embarrassed.
Wait, guys, shut up. I'm trying to listen to Death Cab for Cutie. Oh, my...
Did you get enough? Is that good?
Okay. Yeah, you can turn it off.
That one actually made me cringe a little bit.
First reaction. Less.
I tried to pick the least depressing, like, slow-moving song
on this
album.
Bixby Canyon Bridge is my favorite one.
All right, let's.
Okay, but what were you going to say, first impression?
I was going to say, my first impression is that it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be very whiny. I thought it was going to be much more Bright Eyes.
Oh, that's what we're about to listen. That's Bixby Canyon Bridge. And this one has special...
Which album is that on?
That's from the one that has I Will Possess Your Heart on it. It's Bixby Canyon Bridge is a bridge in Big Sur that I was traveling up with a girl one time, and she played me this song. So that's like I have a special memory.
Oh,
like,
see, that's what this show's about. We want it, you know, something that's attached to a specific memory.
Yeah.
How did that work out with that girl?
She's still a great friend.
Oh, great.
She's awesome.
That's great. Wait, this is the song you were singing?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
The place where your soul had died.
I can see at a certain age me being like, yup.
Yeah, and it's, especially when you're driving up the one with this girl, and she's like, we drove over the bridge. She's like, oh, it's one of my favorite Death Cab songs. She played it, and I was like, this is wonderful. And we hiked down it like they do in the song. It was great. It was like such a nice moment in my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
It was really fun.
I think that's great. So I
still have positive feelings for that song.
I get, like, I wouldn't want to listen to that necessarily right now, but I totally think that's way less, like, over the top than I thought it was melodramatic.
Okay, sure.
My favorite Death Cab song was definitely one of the most dramatic. Hold on. But I don't know if I can play it because it also takes a long time. It was Tiny Vessels on Transatlanticism.
Oh, just skip to the middle of it.
Yeah, it's like definitely a super depressing song. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Put that on.
Yeah.
In case you weren't having a good time.
I have a pretty great, after this song, I have a pretty great Postal Service story.
Oh, that's, I mean, me too. I took mushrooms and saw them and had a freak out at Coachella and drove home to L.A. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. It's been 2 weeks across town.
In Silver Lake.
Yeah.
How'd you get through it?
Yeah, no kidding, man. Oh.
In high school, I loved this song.
You know what's so funny?
Jesus, Silver Lake. Just that lyric.
In the 70s, this was the Carpenters. That's
yeah.
Who.
Yeah. I mean, just like the fact that he was like, can you believe I spent 2 weeks, like, he lives in L.A. I'd be like, I spent 2 weeks in Burbank. Yeah, man. Yeah. You were working. That's where your studio was. Also, the Silver Sun Pickups is called that because Silver Sun Liquors.
Yeah,
store.
Silver Sun Liquors. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
My Postal Service story is that I was waiting outside Webster Hall to go to a different show. I'm almost positive it was, it might have been Bright Eyes and The Faint. Might have been that show.
Sure.
But I also think it might have been Modest Mouse. Whatever. They're all the same from back then. And this girl that knew me through a friend, and I was with my friend, recognized me. And she was like, hey, we're going to the same show. I live across the street. Do you want to come in my room and smoke weed first? And we were like, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? Also, it's a fun New York apartment.
Yeah. So we go across the street. She has a basement bedroom with no windows. And we're smoking weed. And everything's fine. And then she goes, hey, guys, do you want to hear something? And we were like, okay. And... we're really high now. Mm-hmm. She turns the lights off and it's pitch black.
Okay.
It's a basement room. She puts on Such Great Heights. by the Postal Service.
It's great.
She doesn't turn the lights on until the whole song's over.
Oh, no.
Then she turns the song on, or turns the lights on, points at us and goes, "That's Postal Service."
That's pretty good. That's dope. I like that a lot. I like that.
Like, we were supposed to be like,
what?
Yeah. Like the stars are supposed to go by our face like hyperdrive. Yeah. You know, like, whoa! It was the funniest, and we had to like not laugh. Mm-hmm. And then that's my friend Justin. He listens to this podcast. Okay, he's great. Gonna love that story.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of feeling Postal Service used to bring out in people. Whoa. That they thought they were blowing your mind.
I get it. I was at like an ex-girlfriend's, her best friend's house one time. You know, classic, don't get along great with girlfriend's best friend. But she had like a new stereo and some, like, she was dating a guy. It was like a friend who takes on whatever their
Was it an Iowa three-disc changer?
Yeah, well, I don't know what
whatever
it was.
Their person is into, all of a sudden,
like, she was audiophile, and I was like, I've never heard you talk about music. And she was like, you have to listen to this song. It's only available on this 180 gram, record. And I was like, she like stopped the party, and it had to be like, I was like, please don't do this. Send me
a
link.
She sounds like a huge dick.
If this isn't Prince, you're going to look like an asshole.
And she was like, no, and you have to sit here because that's where the sound comes, like Brendan told me or whoever she was dating.
My God.
And I just kept being, I felt like Larry David where everyone was like, just do it. And I was like, this is ridiculous. We were having a nice discussion. You stopped the party.
That's Seinfeld, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was getting yelled at by my girlfriend. She's like, don't be a jerk. She's trying to connect with you. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I felt so, I was just like.
You were the only one right in this entire party.
I know. And I felt like Larry David. Like when everyone, he's just like, this is stupid.
Yeah. So what was the song?
I fought against it. So it was some fucking obscure song that she didn't even know, I'm sure. Like that her boyfriend was like, this
song's
cool.
When you're like dating someone or when you see your friends, I've never particularly been like this because I'm pretty set in my musical taste. But when you see someone dating someone and all of a sudden they like love whatever that person is into, nothing makes me lose respect for people
more. And this guy
more.
Like is co-DJ with like Elijah Wood. And I'm like, I could care less about any of this.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I was like, and don't ruin Lord of the Rings for me.
So what was the, Father John, do you have like a one track that is?
No, but the thing is, I like Father John Misty.
What's your first choice when you're feeling sad and you want to like listen to sad music?
Well, right now it's Songs Ohio.
I love them.
Yeah. That's like Jason Molina or whatever his name is. Like, that's not embarrassing. That's like, it's
no,
awesome.
No, they're actually awesome.
Yeah. So
and they sound like what I was trying to play, but the search
they sound
isn't
like Neil Young
on Spotify.
Yeah.
What are you trying to look for?
Bonnie Prince Billy.
Father John Misty's like, it's not like he's lame. It's just like, it's gotten. So it's kind of uncool to open. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be embarrassed to go buy his record at Amoeba. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it not didn't used to be that way.
No, he used to be really cool. It was like if you knew who he was.
It's kind of like when moms took something over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not
which
his
one,
fault.
Father John Misty? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I feel like moms took it over.
Moms took over Father John Misty?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
I know what you mean.
Like how it. I mean, I like Mumford & Sons, but it'd be weird to go buy a Mumford & Sons record. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not on the same page with that.
I don't like
that. I feel like they were never good.
But it was 2009, I was 21, and I felt like I discovered them. I saw them in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day, like at some small like music venue.
Well, that's different, yeah.
And that's why I came back to, it was before their record was out, and I was like, they're the best. And then they blew up so hard, I was like, gosh, dang
it. Yeah, that does suck.
I remember going to my record store in Long Beach and buying it.
You know who's supposed to be like that that's actually great, but I've never been able to get into them? Was the Yvette Brothers, the Yvette Brothers?
Oh, you know what?
I don't even know what they sound like.
Moms took them over a little bit for me.
Did they?
Yeah,
moms took them over pretty hard. it's a problem. It's a problem where like you like something and then and then you're like, shit, there's a bunch of moms at this concert.
You know, there's a bunch of moms out there that
there's
like
a
really
mom
good music.
Sitting right next to you.
Yeah, but this mom.
No, but you know what I mean.
I'm a teen mom, so it's different.
Perfect, perfect.
Just kidding, I'm not a teen mom. I try to look like I'm a teen mom.
Here's a sad soft spot moment. I saw the Avett Brothers at Red Rocks with a bunch of my Iowa pals, and they have a song about how he's like, I've got a brother or whatever. Uh-huh. And it's, I forget what it's called, but it's just about how they're brothers. And literally, like, and he's like, I would die for him or whatever. And I was so high, and it was at Red Rocks, and I started crying to my friends, and started tearing up, crying, like, really crying. He's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I got a brother. Yeah. I was like, I have a brother, too.
Yeah.
I got a brother as well.
We have the same parents.
My brother.
His dad's my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's my mom.
Yeah, their last two albums have just been super disappointing to me, but they have one that, like, I and Love and You is, like, such a good camping, like, makes you want to go camping record.
I gotta check them out. I cannot place them at all.
I mean, they were, like, real cool bluegrass, and then Rick Rubin'd them up. And
yeah.
He, like, Rick Rubin'd them up.
Yeah. He really spiffed them up.
Well, yeah, Rick Rubin spiffed up the Gossip, and I loved it.
Rick Rubin spiffed up the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I loved it.
Well,
I mean,
we cannot get into the Red Hot Chili Peppers on this podcast. You know, Brooks has a Red Hot Chili Peppers
tattoo.
Yeah, I do.
What?
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
stop the dick to put a pimp.
But I'm saying, in 1991, he spiffed him up or whatever.
Yeah.
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 With Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
He did Blood Sugar. Oh, I didn't know Rick Rubin produced that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, they were, because before that, they were hanging out with George Clinton too much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, you're not black.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just hardcore LA skate punks.
Yeah.
And they
funk.
Yeah. And they were getting, you know, they were dying from heroin. So, I mean, they were living pretty hardcore.
Blood Sugar Sex Magik was a CD that I bought when it was still in those long cardboard sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And most of that cardboard sleeve, empty. There's just nothing in it.
You know the biggest bummer about that fucking record is Soul to Squeeze is my favorite Chili Peppers song, and it's super awesome.
I can still listen to it.
It's like the one that I'm like, when it's on, I turn it up. Like, even if I'm parked, I'm like, I'm going to finish this song.
It's your Yellowy Ledbetter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Only Yellow Ledbetter is also my Yellow Ledbetter. But that song was supposed to be on Blood Sugar Sex Magik, which would have, like, put that record over the top.
And instead it was on the Coneheads soundtrack.
Dan Aykroyd talked Anthony Kiedis into putting it on the Coneheads soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting choice.
Sucks.
Oh, man. Anthony, you know, look, we've all made mistakes.
Sure.
So this is Palace, also known, the guy is Will Oldham, and the reason I'm bringing him up is because he has that voice of, like, the Ben Gibbard, like, that high falsetto type thing, but it's so over the top that you're like, the first time I heard it, I was like, does he not know how to sing? Like,
he's,
you know,
not singing in falsetto, excited. He's just like a tenor, like, the tenorist of tenors.
Yeah, so this is... And this is like
this sound. I know. I can see where this is going.
This is in college when you're like high all the time and so depressed.
Yeah,
you know.
I dug college.
Really?
I had a good time.
I didn't like after college.
If I could go back to college, I 1,000% would.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, no responsibilities, drinking all the time. It's awesome.
I was doing it wrong.
I lived in Iowa City. Iowa City was a real fun place to live.
I lived in Austin.
Yeah, exactly. College towns are where it's at. Where'd you go to college?
Rutgers in New Brunswick.
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah. That's a different vibe.
That's why.
College towns change.
I used to walk around
all
with my headphones on high and be like, "How come I don't relate to anybody here?"
That was every single person in Iowa City was walking around with their headphones high, being like, "I'm like every person here." It couldn't have been more different. Yeah. Yeah.
I built my own.
We were so annoying. We'd say happy holidays on 420. That's how annoying we were.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But we were like, happy holidays. Yeah, that's how college towny it was.
Was this a good joke? Was this a joke back then? Hey guys, I forgot my hacky sack. Just kidding.
No, it was that in between, while we were waiting to disc golf, we would hack.
My God.
So, like, you know, it was so packed at the disc golf place, and, like, somewhere while we're waiting, we'd be hacking it up. Like,
hacking it up.
Yeah.
That's how
awful we were, but I loved
waiting
it.
In line
people
at the disc golf
People are hearing Austin,
place.
And I'm sure they're assuming I went to UT. I did not. I probably couldn't have gotten into UT. I went to St. Edward's, a small school down the street, liberal arts. And
you still get to enjoy the same fun amenities.
Yeah, exactly. Still had a blast in Austin, but my campus was pretty rad. People were smoking weed out in the open, which is kind of saying a lot 10 years ago in Texas when weed was still like widely considered, you know, a bad thing. It still probably is there, but people did not care. They were playing hacky sack. They were just like...
Yeah, every time I'm in Austin, I go to Barton Springs.
Barton Springs is so rad.
It's the best.
And then
we rent the kayaks and take them down the river mm-hmm. and drink wine.
Wow. Ours was like, hey, do you want to go to the 7-Eleven under the train tracks?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was not.
Yeah. That's how my girlfriend Grace she did not have a good college experience in New Jersey as well. She went to Ramapo.
This tiny... I performed there.
Yeah. I mean, she did their commencement speech, so she doesn't shit on it, but she's just like, I didn't have a college experience like you guys.
Ramapo's not. Oh, it's a tiny. It's a tiny campus. There's nothing there.
Yeah, the only reason I know about it is because the guy who, the lead singer of, I can't think of their name right now. This is annoying. Lead singer of a band I really like went there, and they like graduated the
is
same
it Midtown?
Time.
Are you trying to think of the band Midtown?
No.
Hey, I loved them.
They're a Chicago band,
Chicago?
Yeah, yep. It is
Peter
Chicago.
Cetera. You're thinking of Peter Cetera.
Either way, it's unimportant, but yeah.
Okay.
I loved Austin, still do, and I saw a lot of these bands that we're talking about. Definitely saw Death Cab in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes through there.
5 or 6.
Yeah, I don't...
Did you see a lot of shows in college? Did you go to a lot of...
No, well, apparently I wasn't cool enough to go to the good ones, which were basement punk shows. There was a lot of those going on in New Brunswick at the time. And New Brunswick has a history of that. There's something called Exit 9 Records that's like a punk label. And it's one of them. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but it's either Operation Ivy or Bouncing Souls. One of them is from New Brunswick. So like they have this like rich history of like punk bands there. And I didn't know those kids, you know, so I was too busy listening to like depressing folk music under my own bunk bed.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I would listen on headphones through my record player in my room in the dark by myself and smoke bongs. That's what that was my college.
Oh
yeah.
Man, there was no river. Nobody came through Iowa. There wasn't a river, but there was a lot of just drinking and...
I thought you said you went kayaking or some
That's
shit.
That's when I'm in Austin.
In Austin.
Oh, Austin. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just a lot of disc golfing. It was just like... I'm not even joking. It was so fun. Disc golfing is my... I still love disc golf.
Is that where there's a basket on a tree?
Okay. It's like non-pretentious golf. I understand why people like golf. It's like exercise. You're outside. You're just chilling with your buds.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the idea of golfing just because I'm like, this is stupid. But disc golf, you're in the woods and you're chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wandered onto a disc golf course one time and a frisbee flew over my head and went into a basket and like, where am I? I was so confused. I'd never heard of it. I didn't know.
Just black come from out of a werewolf thing? You're like, oh, what the fuck? Iowa City was cool. We saw like very few bands would come through. Kings of Leon came through one time. That was rad. Before, you know, like early Kings of Leon when like nobody was coming to the
shows. I saw them at Bonnaroo and it was after they were huge. Obviously it was Bonnaroo, but live they were great.
I'm like friends with two of them because they did SNL and I wrote a sketch where they played the Duck Dynasty guys. And they're the fucking most rad dudes ever.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're great, man.
Aren't they brothers? Aren't there two brothers?
Oh yeah, three brothers and their cousin. And they're just like rad, like fucking hillbillies, man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm into, live music is like impossible to beat.
Right.
It's so great. When it's great, it's the best.
No, it was so great. Yeah. I remember when they blew up, we were big fans of their first three records and their fourth albums had Sex on Fire and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember Sex on Fire started playing in the bar we always went to, and it was like mind blowing. We're like, they're playing Kings of Leon. And then my friend Steve was like, fuck that, man. I was like, we don't ever get mad that they play Kings of Leon. Then that song didn't stop playing for like 3 years.
Yeah.
It was like... And we're like, holy shit. All right. Okay. Mom's took it. Damn it. Mom's took another one. But yeah, those guys are awesome.
Yeah. I thought they were great. I also saw that was the year they had Jay-Z and Stevie Wonder, and I was like, I was never like a Jay-Z fan, but when you see someone like, you know, do all their hits and they're like, he's that great, you're like, wow, I could get into this. And dude, no, I can't.
You know what's a crazy story about Kings of Leon, which makes me like them even more, is Apple came to one of their shows and they wanted one of their songs, like Red Morning Light or something. They won it for an early, like, remember iPod commercial?
Oh,
where
yeah.
they just played on a loop?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they said no. They were like,
wow.
They were like, no, we don't want to license our music for commercials and stuff, which I respect the fuck. I also respect if you license your music.
And the Black Keys were like, no. Yoo-hoo!
No, literally the band that opened for them that Apple saw was Jet.
Apple
was like, fine, we'll go with this band, and it was like Cold Hard Bitch.
That commercial was everywhere,
and it blew Jet the fuck up 5 years before
silhouette chick dancing around with the iPod.
But ultimately, Jet's gone. Kings Leon's still around, so it proves like take your time. Like, yeah,
I feel like that Jet dude was wearing that hat, still wandering around the Lower East Side, being like, anybody want to hear my song?
Yeah, exactly. that's just a weird story.
Yeah, that's I love
historic. I love little tidbits like that.
Yeah, I mean, and the Black Keys dudes are awesome as fuck, and like because they play all these cool bands came through SNL, and then like I would write sketches for them instead of the host, and that's probably why I got fired. Because I would write sketches for the Black Keys that are like, Charlize Theron is here, stop writing for this band. But those guys are rad, and they were nice. They're like, dude, because when they started, they're like, we're not making any money. If we can make some money by licensing the song, we're going to. Like, it's, and it plus, we don't give a shit. We're going to make some money. Like, we're broke, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't begrudge that stuff because once the music scene started changing and you couldn't make money
anymore,
it's like, I don't care if you want to do one song. Like that Nathaniel Radcliffe and the Night Sweats or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think that's a better name than whatever it's called. Yeah.
And the Night Sweats? Like, is this a real thing?
It is, yeah. It's
Nathaniel Radcliffe and something.
Yeah. It's not the Night Sweats?
I mean, I don't think so. You know who I love?
Did I just come up with the name The Night Sweats?
I think it's a great name. That's why I'm like...
It is The Night Sweats.
All right.
Oh, damn it.
Nathaniel
I thought it was going to...
Ratliff and The Night Sweats.
Anyway.
I guess I hear how long that name is, and I've tuned out for the last 2 years.
Yeah, right.
All right.
But so that album is pretty great, and you can tell the guy came from a real thing, and he was like, he means it and all that, you know? But then he did a fucking Kia Soul commercial with the hamsters.
He's playing with the hamsters?
I think he's in it.
Oh, man.
And it's like, ooh, but it's like, I get it. Like, how else are you supposed to make money anymore?
Yeah, you don't need to be with the hamsters, though, man. You don't have to be with the hamsters.
Yeah.
I guess you gotta, how can you know?
Like,
you gotta make money. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You want to maintain integrity, but you gotta fucking make a living. And
yeah, I know.
A band that got ruined for me that I can't really think of who it is because I was like, yo, I like this band. And then my friend was like, you know, he was in one of those like fake Verizon commercials or fake band commercials where it's like,
oh, I remember.
Car, like, it's like, we're in a band. I can't think of what it is. You should fucking edit
this. Is the song We're in a Band?
No, but it's like it's a fake band for a commercial where they sing a song for like one of those
Geico
things.
Or something like
was
that.
Was it the Shake Shack Shooters?
I don't fucking know.
I'm kidding. That's from that thing you do when they play the fake band.
I literally have come up with
Shrimp Shack Shooters.
This is terrible podcasting. Is.
Sorry. Yeah, the what is it? What is it? What is it? Podcasting. Yeah. I want to get back to real quick the feeling. It's weird. I read this thing about the feelings that you have at a certain age, like teenagers through like 22.
Uh-huh.
Your hormones are so nuts that it's literally like you're on drugs.
Yeah.
You know? And the feelings you have...
I was, too.
You're also literally on drugs.
Yeah.
And so your feelings are just so... I wonder, you know, when you think back to listening to music back then and, like, just the strength of feeling that you had walking around listening to that stuff, it's so hard to believe the intensity of it now, you know?
Yeah.
It's I miss it. I miss feeling that important.
Well, I also lived with... three dudes who were like clones of me, like we all grew up in the same exact area in Iowa, and we all liked exactly the same things.
Yeah.
So every band that we liked, we all liked.
Uh-huh.
So it was like
it was like church.
Yeah. So it was four of us. We just play music so loud, and like everyone was like, "This is amazing!" And then somebody's like, "Have you heard this band?" And we're like, "I like this one too." It was just the most positive.
Yeah.
It was so. But I mean, also we were batshit crazy and lived above people, and they like banged on the ceiling and came up and told us to be quiet, and we got drunk and took a hammer to the floor, and we're like, we're coming down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, real bad, really bad.
You're like, we're all jacked up on Death Cab for Cutie.
it was the John Butler trio.
Oh god.
Yeah, I saw him live. He's mind blowing live.
Yeah,
like the best guitarist.
I actually don't
ever.
Know him much.
He's
I was
cool.
thinking of Spencer what's his name, the Blues Explosion.
I mean, I don't know. We were just
Spencer.
Real scumbags, but all got along really well.
Hey, so what is Iowa City like?
It's, well, I mean, it's like a smaller Austin. It's like, oh. It was great when I went there. You only needed to be 19 to get into the bars, mm-hmm. and it's only college kids in bars, and once you're in the bar, you can drink.
Yeah.
So, and I turned 19, like, the day I moved to college, so, like, immediately I can go to a bar, and it's, like, fucking bananas. There's, like, you know, every night, there's a bar to go to for that special, you know, like, mm-hmm. like Thirsty Thursdays at the Fieldhouse, where it was $2 pitchers of whatever.
Wow.
So everyone had their own pitcher of, like, Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant beer.
No. Mixed drinks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There was a place I used to go to in
$2
Austin.
$2 tequila pitchers.
They had it's $6 pitchers of Coke and Jim Beam.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was like, sign me up.
No, oh, my God.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
I mean, I can't imagine what it would look. They've since moved it up to 21, but, like, to go back and see the
scene. And watch that?
Yeah, because it's a pedestrian mall. It's called the Ped Mall, where no cars are allowed, so it's just all these bars in this little, not a little area, an area where, you know, there's no cars allowed, so it's just, like, at 1:30 in the morning, all these kids spill out.
Yeah.
And you must be like, so, is this the apocalypse?
Like, it must look like one of those old paintings of a Greek orgy afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, like, nuts.
Except everyone's wearing Dave Matthews t-shirts instead of robes.
Yeah, it was the type of city where you could literally just walk into it. If you spell people having a party in a house, you just walk into it. And
yeah.
Everyone's, like, cool with it.
Austin was kind of like that. I remember there were, like, house parties we would just walk in, and everybody kind of, I don't know. It's so weird because the population is so big, and there are so many people at UT, but I just felt like you kind of, like, know somebody who knows somebody, and
yeah,
like, that's what a college town is.
Yeah. Iowa City's so much smaller than Austin, too. It's, like, probably, like, 50,000 people, and, like, 30,000 of them are students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I dig it. It's also, like, the one cool place in Iowa.
Let's do this. This was a great episode, and I think there's a lot of, obviously, there's still a ton of fans of this, of, like, Ben Gibbard, and, you know, like they're out there big
time. I'm a fan of this music.
I am, too.
I think we should make a Soft Spot Best of Death Cab Postal Service and all that playlist, and then people can follow it.
I might already have one.
Yeah.
We don't have to do
like
any work.
If we combined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think of some other stuff. Yeah, because, I mean,
send us your saddest stuff, and we'll make a sad playlist.
I mean, I Will Possess Your Heart. Just listen to that and be sad. Or go to Bixby Canyon Bridge with a cool babe and climb down it, and then be like, we're in a Death Cab music video right now.
Yeah. and we'll name the playlist. This playlist will change your life.
Yeah. This playlist will possess your heart.
Well, we just got the title of our episode. That's
for sure.
All right. Well, Brooks, thanks so much for
coming.
Thanks
for having me. It's good to hang out.
Yeah.
It's weird how podcasts are the only way I hang out with my friends anymore.
That's why we're doing it.
Yeah. Literally, I have like one time. So I have a podcast called Entry Level. You should listen to it. And it's about first jobs. One time I recorded an episode like with Hampton Yunt, and afterwards, like, it wasn't recording, and I was like, we were like upset that we just had a genuine nice conversation
and didn't record it.
Yeah,
and
we're like, we didn't monetize our catching up, which felt very gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my first job was Paper Route. What was your first job?
I think it was Victoria's Secret.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yours
really?
I worked a lot of mall jobs.
Oh, I had a lot of mall jobs, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got banned from the mall, but still worked there.
Oh.
It was weird. I had to go in through the back.
Nice.
I think, it would be like, my boss, because I got fired for jumping in the fountain. Yeah. And
what
then,
a bad boy.
Yeah. Oh, Brooks is a bad boy.
We recorded it. We monetized it. We showed it at school.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, then I was like, they're like, you can't come here. And I was like, oh, fuck. But my boss thought I was funny. He was like, yeah, it's fine. You just don't go out in the mall.
Just don't do that again.
Yeah. No, he didn't care at all. He's just like, just come in the back. We're selling sporting goods high. It's fun.
Iowa City.
No, this is in Dubuque.
Oh, Dubuque.
Yeah. I didn't like Iowa till I went to Iowa City.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this was fun.
I have terrible news I'm seeing from our producer. This was not recording.
Oh, man, we just had to talk.
Waste of
friends.
Time.
Yeah.
Huge waste of time.
Devastated.
I know 10 a.m. is a little early for all of us, so thank you.
No, it was great. I had to do it early because I thought I had plans later.
Oh, right, yeah.
A reason to get out of bed. It's a good thing,
I'll
right?
see you at Public House.
That's exactly. Literally, I'm like, the earlier the better lately, because that just makes me, first of all, not. That's just, I'm like, well, I have to go to bed. I have to get up early tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because otherwise I will sleep till fucking whenever.
Rate and review the Soft Spot on iTunes. What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything, but I feel like you're waiting for me to say something.
Oh, no, no, no. Or wherever you listen to podcasts, right?
If you say you didn't like Postal Service, you're a fucking liar.
That's
you're
right.
You're a liar.
Postal Service is good.
Yeah, they are good.
Great.
And they only did that one album?
A lot of people are going to talk shit, and I'm ready for you. Mm-hmm. I'll see you online.
Yeah.
All right.
Come at her.
Come at
you
me.
Guys really, it was just a smooth landing.
Yeah, really. We're done. We were just going to cut it 10 minutes ago, but thanks
perfect,
so much.
Perfect. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Bye. Listen next week. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we want to thank our producer, Land Romo. We want to thank Chris Calabrese for making our theme song.
And thank you, Brooks, for coming and hanging out with us. I also wanted to say hi to Kathy, who sent us the sweetest email. Thanks for reaching out to us. We love you.
Thank you all for listening. Remember, you always have a safe space.
At the soft spot.
Yeah, Queen.
It's a good show.